Welcome to The Roofer Show with your host, Dave Sullivan. You found the podcast that helps roofing contractors grow their businesses, make more money, and have more free time.
Hey, everybody, what's up? Welcome to The Roofer Show, the place to be if you want to grow a more profitable roofing business. And today, we're talking about something I see all the time. Contractors thinking they need more leads, when in reality, they're sitting on money they're already losing. I've got Chris Dural from SMA Support with me, and we are going to break down five profit leaks that could easily add another $1 million to your business without buying more leads. Chris, how you doing? Hey, can you give us a quick rundown of just your experience, what you've been doing? I know you're a contractor for quite a while, and now you're with SMA, so you've got it all tied together.
Yeah. What's up, Dave? Good to see you again, man. Been a little bit. So I started my journey in this industry over a decade ago in a roofing contracting business, joined that. We scaled that up. It was a pen and paper business that we kind of, let's say, digitized it, put in the systems and processes, worked with you a long way back in the day. And eventually now I've found my way to SMA Support. I'm the general manager of the business there, but kind of bringing what I learned in the trenches of selling roofs, retail roofing, all the years that I was doing that, and now applying it and helping others do the same. So figured a lot of the stuff today we're talking about is free money, and who doesn't like free money? Because the problem that I help others solve now is the same stuff that I was coming to you for back in the day, where it was like, I need more leads. And it was like, well, tell me about a couple of things. And so one of these is something that we talked about years ago, but there's some others on there that even if you're just a one-man show out there, I don't care if you're doing $500,000 a year or if you're doing $5-10 million a year, all of these probably apply. And the guys that are saying, hey, I'm trying to get to that next level, these are the things that you can start doing today, even if you don't have a team. But if you do have a team, some of these are, you know, is your team actually doing them, or are they just costing you money by not doing them? So figured we can dive in and see if we can add some education and help to people to go out and find some money on a year that if the storms aren't hitting, we can't control the weather. So let's go figure out where we can pull the money in from.
You've got five profit leaks that we're going to talk about, an amazing amount of money that people are losing. So why don't we just jump into those? Let's start off with number one. What's one of the big profit leaks that you see?
Yeah, the first one, anytime somebody is saying these days and they say, hey, I need some more leads, there's a test I love to try. When they say that to me, it's let's pull up their business, Google their name, click their phone number and call it. And I want to see, are they picking up their phone within the first 60 seconds? And if they are not, I mean, we need to be seeing a lead response back to me. If I'm having to leave a message, God forbid, in 2026, I'm leaving a voicemail. But if I have to leave a message, are they getting back to me within 5 minutes? But really, that speed to lead should be a minute or less. And if you are not responding to your leads in under a minute, you are losing money. And so if you say, I need more leads, and especially thinking about, I need more leads, I need to pay Google, I need to pay Facebook, I need to pay somebody for these leads. If you're out spending for 100 leads, but half of them you don't even pick up the phone for, that is money you're lighting on fire. So make sure you're calling or you're responding to every inbound call, every inbound inquiry via your website, other profiles in under a minute or less to make sure you're getting the best bang for your buck on your either advertising dollars or just the general organic leads coming to your business.
Otherwise, you're just feeding leads to your competitors. I mean,
yeah, and think of it this way from the homeowner's perspective. So we've all been in a scenario where we have something happen. I don't care if it's your car takes a crap on you, whatever it is. You're going to look for somebody to help you solve that problem. What are you going to do? Probably at some point pick up that phone. If it's an emergency, more so than just send a web form, pick up that phone, give them a call. First guy you call goes to voicemail. You leave a message. Okay, I got to call somebody else. I'm getting three estimates anyways. Second call, make that second phone call. Well, it's a guy's personal cell phone instead of just generic voicemail. Okay, well, hopefully he'll call me back between his appointments. And then the third one you call, and it's, you know, it's the people that some people in your market, you're the roofer, you look at these guys and say, you know, oh, they're the expensive people. Well, guess what? They've got a call center that picks up all the time. So the third call goes to that call center picks it up. Hey, it's Sandy, you know, with such and such roofing here, you know, helping you. They book that appointment, they get them on the phone. All the meanwhile, you know, those other two people are working their jobs and who knows what's happening to that lead. So by the time you maybe even get back to him, you know, the second guy, hopefully he's calling back. He's probably going to get the appointment. The third guy, if they ever call back from that generic voicemail inbox, like maybe it's 5 days later, a week later, at that point, she's already had two estimates and the third guy didn't call. So she said, you know what? I guess that's why you get three. So the first one that doesn't show up, you can just throw them out. And now you're comparing two estimates. And so when we frame this around our ideal clients and what they want, what do they want? They want an Amazon buying experience. They don't want this old school thing of, you know, looking at the roofers as if we're the only ones who can solve their problem. It's like, there's a bunch of other people out there. They just see it as a commodity of, I have a roof leak, I need it fixed. Can one of you hillbillies come out and solve this for me? Like, that's frankly how they look at our industry. So think of it like our clients do and put it in their shoes of, what's their process look like? How do I want to go through this when I'm the customer? We want it to be easy. We want to just know that our problems are solved and boom, I can put this behind me and go on to my next thing in the day.
Yeah. And if you're using voicemail, okay, they're not going to leave a message because if they're calling, they've got a problem. They're looking for a solution and they want answers and they want them fast. Everything, you know, you use the example of Amazon. Amazon, I can call, order something and it's here this afternoon. It's just the way we're thinking now. And you're just losing a ton of business that way. So this stuff is no-brainer stuff. And you should have 24/7 answering because now we've got AI agents, at least, you know, something that can, they can get answers. We can book appointments.
Yeah, I've got a hot take for the roofing industry. The AI voice robots are better than your team. 90% of the time, the voice robots are better than your team. And here's why. When you get more than one phone call, who picks up the phone? Oh, that one goes to voicemail. Guess what? Robots beat you. Maybe it's the nighttime and nobody's working. Guess what? The robots beat you. Maybe you've got somebody who's calling in on a weekend that would like to book an appointment that you have a call center that picks it up, but unfortunately, they just take a message and have you call them back on Monday. Again, the robots beat you. And so we talk, I hear from people all the time that say, oh, my customers don't want the AI robots. They don't want to deal with this. But guess what? Correct. There is some percentage of your customers that will not do that, and you need to have some backup. And maybe they're okay leaving a message. But if you ask those customers, would you prefer to leave a message with a human or talk to a robot who could book your appointment and have a human call you back on Monday to confirm everything's good? Which one are they going to pick? They're going to pick that option. And so, yes, there's still a need for having a person that can be on the phone and talk to your customers some fraction of the time. I think a lot of the data showing 20% or less is kind of what we're seeing. We have clients that I work with that we've had a virtual assistant working in their business, and then they brought in AI. And guess what? They still have a small percent that wants to talk to a human, but 80% or so is just going through the robot, handling it. And now their assistant can focus on more important tasks for the business too.
And they don't realize it, how much money they're losing because they just don't leave a message and, you know. Okay, yep. Well, let's get into number two. What do you got?
So number two, mining your old CRM graveyard. Let's look for those old leads that are in your business that you frankly forgot about. And this was the thing, like I came to you with, Dave, I need more leads because we're doing 2 million a year and I want to get to 3. And I remember we pulled up my quote software, which was the first one I got because, I don't know, 6 months before that, you told me you need to make sure you're following up with people. And I said, okay, I don't even know how I'm keeping track of my estimates because they're all on paper. So let's go look with something that can follow up. Did I do any follow-ups? No, I didn't. I'm just like every other roof salesperson out there, I was just like, I got other shit to take care of. But once we would go out and send an estimate, I was just like everybody else. I'd send the estimate and be like, man, I hope they call me. And so if we look at our past appointments for the last like year or 2 years, let's pick a number. Let's say we did 100 estimates, that we've got each year that didn't say yes to us yet. So we have 200 estimates. Well, of those 200 estimates that are still open, what percentage of those would say yes, they're ready if you would just reach out? And so making sure you have some process in place to reach out with your customers and follow back up once you've sent that initial bid, you need to have some checkpoints in there. And if you do, you can convert anywhere from 2 to 5% of those old estimates into closed work. And so if we look at, let's say, 200 jobs that are still open, what's 2% of that? That's 4 jobs. So we're talking $80,000 in revenue with most ticket prices that we see today. I mean, I think I speak for most people saying, hey, if I could just send a couple text messages, I'd be willing to do that for 4 closed jobs. And so making sure you have a process to do this, whether it's manually, if you're small and just getting started, go ahead and do it manually. But if you're a little bit bigger, this is where tools like ProLine are a great option because they've got the follow-up built into the tool already so that when you send your estimate, it's already following up for the next 2 years. There's a lot of options about how you do it. Just make sure you do have a process and you're not missing the revenue there.
Yeah, I remember coming in and it's one of the first things I ask contractors is, what does just open jobs look like? And I think you had something like $2 million in there. Well, we hooked up ProLine, set up the automations. And I think you were selling, you know, $500,000 or $600,000 out of that work because people forget about you. You know, when you think about, oh, they'll call me when they need me. That's a bunch of crap. They won't because they can't even remember your name. You look just like everybody else. So yeah. If you're following up and that's the beauty of a good CRM is that we do this through automations. You know, the idea of follow up Friday. Get your sales guys to follow up. It just doesn't happen.
It might happen for 2 weeks, maybe for 3 weeks, but by week 4, it's slipping. By week 8, it's halfway there. By week 12, they're like, it's more like fuck it Friday than follow up Friday. So that's, you can't blame them. I mean, it sucks because you're like, think of it from your sales team's perspective for a second. At least when I'm going out selling, like, when I was doing it and I had 10 appointments, okay, I'm going to at least close 3, maybe 4, maybe 5, depending on what this week looks like. When we start talking about doing rehash activities, like you're going from a 30% hit rate, maybe down to a 1 to 2% hit rate. Talk about crushing people's souls. You're saying, hey, you're going to be 10% as effective at this as you are in your normal job. Would you like to do this every day? No. No, thank you. And that's why I'm just going to stop doing this stuff, Mr. Owner, as a sales guy, because I'm going to go focus on the new customers that aren't crushing my soul and making me feel like I suck because 99 out of 100 say no. So let's stop asking our sales team to do this themselves. Let's build the robots, get the CRMs with them in there, and have a process to do this automatically so that you're not relying on people who, frankly, it's way, way, way below their pay scale to spend the time doing these text check-ins and things like that. And if you're somebody out there who's like, hey, I got a local person, they're my admin, they sit in the office, they help me do some of this, like let them be the follow-up person. You don't need your salesperson who did the estimate to be the one to check back in. Because frankly, the customer has no idea who even came back to their house. They're like, was that Steve or Bob or Greg or Tim? I don't know. It was one of those guys that he was the one who didn't smell like Jack Daniels and Marlboro Red. So let's call him back. And like, if you get a call back from that company, they're just happy you checked in because, frankly, none of the other people that came out and gave an estimate probably even followed up with them.
I'm going to take a quick pause because what Chris just talked about right there is exactly why systems matter. If you don't have a way to track your leads, follow up automatically, and keep everything organized, you're losing deals every day and you don't even know it. That's why I recommend ProLine. It's built specifically for roofing contractors to help you manage leads, automate follow-up, and close more jobs without things slipping through the cracks. If you want to see how it works, go check it out at getproline.com, and you can use it for free, or you can use my promo code DAVE50, that's all caps DAVE, and you can get 50% off your first month's service. Well, let's get into number 3.
That's a perfect tie-in into taking the bullshit off of your sales team's plate and getting your reps out of their red zone and into their green zone. So these both are perfect examples, like speed to lead and estimate rehash. So first of all, if you're an owner out there, let's go back to, this was me, one man, Chris, I'm doing the stuff. And I had Tom who was doing all of our production stuff, but it's like the leads are coming to me. They're coming to my cell phone. If I'm doing an estimate for a homeowner, if I'm up walking a roof, measuring a roof, talking to a homeowner, I'm not picking up my phone because that would be rude. Well, it's rude to that person who is calling looking for work, but I'm sending them to my voicemail, maybe getting back to them in an hour, 2 hours, or a day. So speed to lead with your reps. Don't expect them to do it. Don't expect yourself to do it. This is admin work you should take off of your plate because, frankly, you're going to position this at the bottom of your to-do list anyways. And so other things that our reps do that kill their energy. We just talked about rehashing the old bids. So this is a red zone activity. It drains their energy. What do we want to do? We want to keep these guys and gals in their green zones where they are working best. They're generating us the most revenue for our business. And what is that? That's when they're meeting with customers or they're selling or maybe even doing other marketing related activities to generate leads for the business. And frankly, a lot of the salespeople that you hire, that is their green zone. Be a promoter. Promote yourself, promote your business, promote us. Like that's what we hired you for. So get them out of their red zone, pull off the tasks that are zapping their energy, give those to somebody else who frankly loves doing that. The person that says, you won't catch me dead in a customer's home. I never want to go out and talk to a homeowner. Great. Stay behind the scenes, do the bullshit work, get the estimates prepped, help them so that when our sales team is out working, all they're doing is selling. And when we can think about, you know, taking my reps out of their red zone, if you have one sales rep, you're the owner, you got your sales rep, and you said, hey, Mr. Rep or Mrs. Rep, how about Mrs. Rep? All right, so Elizabeth, you can now go from doing 3 estimates a day to doing 4 estimates a day. I'm not going to make you work anymore, but what I am going to do is I'm going to get Sally, who's in the office, she's going to prep all those estimates for you. She's going to pull the Eagle View, she's going to load them up into the quote so that when you're there, you can already prep it after your inspection is done, type in your notes, and I just saved you 20 minutes. How does that sound? Cool. In exchange, you're going to run one more appointment a day. Oh, sweet. Yeah, I'd love that. Great. So you mean I can do less of the bullshit and I can run more appointments and make more money? What are we not doing this for? So this is where get your reps focused on the stuff they should be doing. Find a way to take those other things off of their plate. And please, please, please make sure you, the owner, isn't the one who's falling back into that. Because if you're going to let your sales rep go out and sell more, but then you just are the one who's doing those appointment behind the scenes admin work tasks, we're not exactly setting up the system correctly. So just making sure I throw that out there.
You know, I work with a lot of contractors that I see. They tell me, I need to get another salesman. Okay. And I say, well, okay, walk me through the process that you've got now. What are these guys, what's your guy doing? Well, it's taking it from cradle to grave, for instance, okay, which is, you know, takes the lead, sells the job, orders materials, does all the management and so forth. I go, you don't need another salesman. You need to keep this guy from screwing around with all this $20 an hour stuff. You want your sales guy in front of qualified prospects selling. And all of this garbage where, oh, you know, there's a short on nails, go down the lumber yard and so forth. No, this is $20 an hour stuff. Yeah. And this is what we call inside sales. They're to support the rainmaker. Because if you could bring in another guy, it dilutes the amount of money that your guy can make, the more leads you need to get, so on and so forth. You know, the thing about employees for me, dealing with the personalities, you know, and all the, oh, you know, I can't make it in, blah, blah, blah. You don't need any of that. You just need to be more efficient. You need a system to do that. And that's where we'll get into the solution here on what to do about this, because you guys do a great job here. You
know? I've used this example for some other people before, and I give credit to like the intelligence of people in our industry. But I've said to people before, like your sub crews are smarter than you are, because like think of how your sub crews, if you're using a sub, is setting up their operation. Does every guy on the crew hold the nail gun? No. Does every guy who's holding a nail gun also get down on the ground and pull the shit out of the bushes? No. Why? Because there's different levels of skill, and your foreman of that crew understands that my best guys need to be doing the hardest or most skill intensive activities. And I can get other people to do the other stuff to allow them to focus on that. So it's like the crews that have guys that feed shingles versus guys who, well, he's got 2 men, I'm not paying that rate. Well, yeah, guess what? Why do you think he's banging out 12 squares an hour? No problem. And you're sitting over here. It's like, yes, you're doing it cheaper because you only have one guy, but what's your throughput? And so why is there this disconnect between our production and our sales teams when it comes to thinking of our business that way? We've let our sales teams now, you're going to tear it off. You're going to hump the materials up the ladder. You're going to prep everything. And then you're going to be the one to nail because you're the only one who can do this. And it's like, no, you can't. Just like every other job, half of this is stuff that only they could do. Half of this is stuff that only anybody could do. And that's what separates the successful businesses and the successful owners from the ones who aren't, is they've figured out, how do I get my guys to focus on the stuff that only they can do, that makes me the most money, that I can produce the most volume in a day at the highest level of quality? That's the way we do it.
Well, let's get into the next profit leak, and that's number four. What do you have for us?
So, number four, back to finding stuff that our teams want to do, keeping our guys in their green zone. Well, one of those things is maybe marketing related. And let's look at, how are our teams going about farming or looking for business when they're in a neighborhood? So one of the things you talk about all the time is, you know, wrapping your trucks. Are all your vehicles wrapped? Yeah, let's do these. Make sure we're putting the yard signs, the door hangers, things like this. But what are we doing when it comes to the digital neighborhood that we work in? And what I mean by that is next door, Facebook. Is your team, when they go out and do a day of build, are they doing something to let the neighborhood and the community know digitally that they're doing that work? Does your team have a next door profile where they can tag the business? They can post it on their personal profile and say, hey, we're replacing a roof on XYZ street in this neighborhood, and tag it so that residents of that next door community see that post. So using things like that, Facebook groups, areas where you can create personal connections with residents that might be willing or looking for somebody to do the work on their home and willing to consider you if they knew you existed, this is where we look for it. And so using sites, Nextdoor, groups where we can take things like an instant roof quote tool and promote that, you know, we're the only business who will start the journey the easy way. That's a great way for us to go out and canvas for leads and build our brand awareness amongst the community, because we know that it takes at least 10, 13 plus touch points for customers to really see our brand, understand it, and then really make an effort to connect with us. And so they may not actually know that they need you to have their roof replaced, but if they've seen you in these groups posting like, hey, here's the plumber that we use, or here's the insulation guys that we use and refer to our homeowners when we run into a job that we can't solve, they've seen you, so that when they do have that roof leak and they go search for the roofer or search for who can solve the same problem, they've seen your brand, and then other neighbors have also referred you on that website. This is where you're getting those leads that, when you go back to that beginning of like, I need more leads, we're at number four. And this is the first one where we're actually talking about a way that you actually go get leads. But notice I didn't bring anything up about spending money. All of this is the free angle. Like, literally sit on the can. Y'all are taking a stop at McDonald's in the middle of the day between appointments. You're like, oh, I got to use the bathroom. Go search for the word roof. Pull up the Nextdoor app on your phone. Boom. 3 minutes later, you're done, back in that truck. Ta-da, you just generated some leads on your lunch break while you're going to the bathroom. So take a look for a roof while you take a poop. That's the new marketing angle you can take. That you heard it from me here first, folks.
Yeah,
so
we'll get that on our billboard here.
Yeah.
Our goal is to get one additional job for every job we do in a neighborhood. So think about that. If you can get another job, I mean, you just doubled your business. You didn't have to pay for leads. This is basically free. But you have to have a system to do it, and it has to be consistent. And this is the problem that I see. You know, I use this example. In my neighborhood here, last summer, there were four roofs that got replaced. I always drive by, see what's going on. No job signs, no wrap, no anything. I don't know who they are, okay? Then I find another job going on here a few weeks later. Different contractor. So out of those four jobs that went on, they had four different contractors. Now, if I had gotten, postcard, you know, a couple of postcards, hey, we're in the neighborhood. You know, if I needed roofing work, why wouldn't I call these guys? My neighbors trust them. I mean, that's a no-brainer. And the things that we can do that don't cost a lot of money, I mean, as you say, chop signs, truck wraps. You want everybody in that neighborhood to know who you are and that you're there, and you'd love to get on the roof and give them a free inspection.
Yeah, and I think most of this stuff, like, let's talk through, because these are the things we say, and then somebody's sitting in their truck driving is like, yeah, well, you know what this is going to cost me. I tried this once before. Like, okay, let's math this out a little bit, because this is where figuring out, how do I go get more business? And it comes down to, a lot of you aren't tracking it in the first place. And one of the things you always talk about is, you know, you sell the work, you do the work, but then you keep score. And if you don't keep score on the inbound marketing, how do you know what works? And so, you say, oh, these postcards, they seem expensive. Well, like, what's the cost of not doing it? And so, yes, there is an expense, but if we stack this up between, okay, do I spend $5,000 a month on Google Ads, or do I spend $5,000 a month on a mix of, you know, postcards and cookies and things of this nature? Dope marketing is a great one. Those guys have automated this. It connects with the CRM. You send out the postcards next door. You can send a cookie to the homeowner when it's all finished. Like, these are the things that leave a lasting impression, and they also support those extra touch points you need to convert a customer. But we're just saying, oh, it's not worth it. And we say it's not worth it because we're basing it off of feelings instead of data. And that's where, if we are going to look for how we go out and get more business, and we do want to spend money, if we're not tracking it, then we really can't say it is or isn't working. So at least if we look at how our team can go about finding organic opportunities, talking to people, hey, we know that's free, it just costs some time. We start there. And then if there is the other avenues to spend money, great, start spending the money once you see the efforts paying off for you.
Yet so many contractors, they say, oh yeah, I tried that. Well, they send out one postcard, and that's it. Well, first off, you've got to send multiple postcards, because when you think about it, I mean, you get the stuff in the mail. You're built, not only are you getting that reminder where maybe they don't see the first one, second one, we usually go three or four, and it works. You know, you may not see an instant return, but hey, it only takes one deal, man. You get a $20,000 roof. That's pretty good. And it's all about consistency. How do we get a system? And you mentioned dope. Yeah, it's automated. Okay, you get door hangers. Your sales guy sells a job. Why wouldn't he want to go around to those 20 homes around there, drop door hangers, even knock on the door and say, "Hey, we're doing a job down the street." I mean, it's going to improve your close rate. You don't need more leads. You have to do more with less, because we're getting fewer leads. And what we're talking about is closing more deals, improving our close rate. So let's wrap up with number five. What's our fifth profit leak?
Before we get to five, I want to throw out 4B real quick, because 4B with the neighborhood farming and looking for leads, get away from your sales team and go to your production team for a second and make sure that they understand the importance of them doing some of these activities. Because if your production team is not understanding that they are equally as important in executing a good process that leads to referral business, it's going to fall apart, and then there's not going to be that referral business. And so when you have team members like a production manager who they say, "I don't want to be a salesperson." Great. I don't need you to be a salesperson. All I need you to be is a knock on a door person who alerts their neighbors that if we fuck anything up next door, I'm your guy to contact. So I'm just being proactive to let you know we're the type of roofing business right. That is super proactive to make sure if you face any problems, you know who to talk to. So here's my business card. Call me if we can help. Boom. And it doesn't even have to be your card. Make it to the office line so that the office person can handle that neighbor if there is a problem, and let you stay focused on production. But the production team is equally as important. So now we can go into number five, which is asking for the referrals.
Sorry, I've got 4C. Because yeah. I want to give our contractors a quick tip that I think is pretty cool that you might not have thought about, but it works. And we're talking about reviews. How do we get more five-star reviews? Because it matters a lot. If you've got 20 five-star reviews or 3.5 or whatever versus your competitor that's got 200. But a good tip that's a better way to get more reviews, and this also helps your production quality, customer experience, but get them to name, say, your foreman on the job, okay? And you can always say, you know, we're having this contest, and, you know, if you like our guy, Jose, you know, could you give him a little shout-out in the write a review and mention his name, and we give him a little spiff because that's why it's so important to give that customer five-star experience. And I want to be sure he is. Did you like him? That's the first thing, is make sure they did a great job. But quick tip, you're going to get more reviews that way, and you have a system. We don't want to get into that, but we've had a lot of episodes on how to get more five-star reviews. Okay. Number five, profit leak.
Well, number five, I think you just said five-star reviews. Five-star reviews is the perfect segue into number five, which is referrals. So when you ask for a referral, what's the right way to ask for that? First of all, you need to have a process to ask. This has to be in every estimate. It has to be in every day of build. This is something that you can do it in a way that it doesn't sound weird, but make sure you're asking, and multiple people in your business are asking for that referral. Because if you're frank with people and you're like, listen, dude, I'm glad you're happy, because if I can keep you happy, if somebody you ever know needs a roof, you're going to tell them about me. And the only thing I could use is a thank you when we get done. When we get done with all this, is if my crew does what they say they're going to do, I do what I say I'm going to do, and our team does that, like, give us a referral to somebody that when the time comes, just remember us. And like, being a salesperson, framing that the way I keep my costs low in my business is by not hemorrhaging money to paid advertising. It's by getting referral business and keeping my customers happy. So if I am making sure I tell them this is super important to me to make sure I do a good job, and I know I want you to refer me, if they call me with anything, it's like, hey, what can I do to make you happy? That's what we're going in with this guarantee. And so build a process where you front load this. And I would say it to a salesperson, like, or as the salesperson, I would say it to my homeowners, and I would say, listen, I don't care if I get paid. That's not my job. My job is to make sure we get you a shingle color you like, and that when we're done with this job, everything went without a hitch and you leave me a five-star review. And if I can do those two things, we're in good shape. So until I send you the invoice, let me know if there's anything I can do to get that five-star review if we're falling short, because that's my goal. Now, it's my wife's job to make sure we get paid. That's her problem, not mine. So that's why I'm happy to say this today. It's her job to get paid, not me. But if you are happy, give me the review. And like you said, Dave, it's like, I don't need the review to come from me. Name the people on my team. Like, hey, we've got this bonus. My production manager, I love him. Leo's great. Carlos is great. If we've got a good job, I want to make sure they get their bonus. So I'm reminding you, because he may forget to ask you. So when you're done, mention him by name, and that's your tip to give him. So building a business where we're asking for these referrals, we let people know that this is important to us, and we ask them multiple times, salesperson, production person, and then closeout person at finance, bring it up. Because if we could get 3% of our customers to refer us to somebody else, I mean, if we're doing 100 roofs a year, 3 new jobs. And that's kind of the low end. I mean, we should really be targeting higher percentages of where our jobs come from for referrals. But if you're doing nothing and it's all, let's say, door knocking or, you know, some other paid advertising method that you're not getting referrals, build it into your process, start making an ask, and then start tracking that so that you can know that it is actually worth your time to develop.
You know, as part of the basics, and I'm all about basics, doesn't have to be complicated. But when I ask, okay, let's go through your advertising channels, your marketing channels. Where does your business come from? And we'll get down to referrals. I go, okay, what percentage of your business? Well, 10%. If you've got 10% of your business coming from referrals, you don't have a system. You're just random hoping that they're going to, you know, tell their friends about you, but it doesn't work that way. You have to have a process and a system to do it, because, hey, think about it. Again, all of this stuff is free. We're talking about free money here, okay? It's sitting right in front of you. And all you've got to do is execute the basics and be consistent. So if we could increase that to 20%, let's say, of our business is coming from referrals because we now have a system. What a difference, because referrals are our best source of business too. I mean, you know, you're going to have a much higher close rate.
Which is cheaper, a Google ad lead or a referral lead? How about this? If you're paying for Google ads, how do you cut your Google ad cost in half? You get every one of those customers to give you a referral to somebody else. Like, this is how you have to think, like, oh, I can't compete on Google Ads. Okay, well, what if we could drive your costs down and get it to this point? Would it make sense? Okay, well, how could we do that? You've got to figure out a way to get that ask from other people too. So think of where we inject this into the process, because it's not just something that affects one part. It affects all of the other kind of KPIs that we're probably trying to measure.
You know, we're just talking about plugging profit leaks. The money is sitting there in your business. You just have to have a system to get it. We put together a simple 5-minute profit leak audit for you. And this isn't a download. It's something you can just go through quickly and see exactly where you're losing money in your business right now. So go to theroofercoach.com/SMA and take the audit, and it'll show you where the gaps are. And if you want help fixing it, you can take the next step from there.
If this is something that you see you are missing some money in your business because you're not doing these tasks, a great way to kind of continue the conversation is set up a call with us. You can meet with my counterpart, Adam. We'll talk through kind of where it is in your business you're costing yourself the most money, and then figure out how do we plug the holes in the dam. And that's with usually a team member from SMA support, where we can do these tasks behind the scenes so that you guys can focus on the stuff that you're best at, which is the high level stuff, growing the business, not doing the BS behind the scenes.
Yeah, it's great stuff, Chris. Really appreciate you coming on and breaking this down. If you got value from this, take 5 minutes and go run that audit. It could be one of the highest ROI things you do this week. Just go to theroofercoach.com/SMA. And as always, if you're looking for help building a more profitable roofing business, that's exactly what we do here. So thanks for listening, and we will see you next time.